Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Flow Track Podcast. I'm Kevin Sully, joined by Gordon Mack, a.k.a. the man with nonsensical takes. Gordon, happy Friday to you.
No, some of them are sensical. I have a little bit of sense. Like they say, broken clock is right twice a day. I feel like I'm higher than twice a day. I feel like I'm right like 5 to 8 times a day. But, you know, maybe we're talking about all these topics. We got the rest of the fields at pre-classic, men's 200, 5K, 2 mile, women's 400 meter hurdles, the marathon fields at New York City and Chicago, more Sha'Carri Richardson content. I feel like I'm going to have a couple sensical takes on a few of these topics. That's the plan, at least.
There's so many topics you can't help but hit common sense on some of them. Thanks, everybody who's watching live on YouTube. If you haven't yet, you can subscribe to the Flow Track Podcast YouTube channel. You can download the show wherever you listen to audio podcasts. And let's jump right into it, Gordon. The full pre-classic fields have been released. We have them, which is good because the meet starts in about 12 hours as of this recording. Let's start off with the men's 200 here. The men's 200, sometimes when fields get released late, it's because, hey, they're not as good as some of the other fields that they locked down big stars for earlier. But that is not the case. We have Noah Lyles. We have Kenny Bednarik. We have Rye Benjamin. Your thoughts on this men's 200?
I'm really excited to see what Rye Benjamin does. We know that he is a talent in the 200 and the flat 400. Clearly, he's the anchor of the 4x4 in, due to his quick 400-meter hurdle wheels. But we know that he's run fast 200s in the past, especially during the college time. He was running well in the 200s. And also, he ran a fast 200, I believe, back in 2018. That was in,
Diamond League in Paris.
Was it?
Yep. Post-NCAA.
Post-NCAA. I think that was that where we saw the meme of Michael Norman and Rye Benjamin, where they both did the same like warm-up at the exact same time in unison?
Yes.
Both wearing the USC kits. I think that was that. You see, this is the finish line from there, Norman and Rye Benjamin. But yeah, but then Benjamin took his talents over to the 400-meter hurdles, and we never really got to see him too much in these flat events. I'm excited to see what he does in this 200. I think he's going to challenge the likes of Bednarik and Lyles. I don't think he's going to beat them, but I do think he's going to push them.
You brought up the 1999. That was the last time he's run a 200. So he didn't run in 19, didn't run in 20, and didn't run at all in 2021. So the Rye Benjamin of 2018, we know this is a better version of Rye Benjamin. Yeah. Now, how much work has he done ripping off a curve when there's no hurdles involved? I don't know, but this guy's a huge talent. We look at some of his relay splits going back to USC in the 4x4. We know what he just did for Team USA in Tokyo. We know how quick he is in the flat stuff. We also have some pressure being applied here because remember, Rye Benjamin put out the hot take about his teammate Michael Norman breaking the world record in the 100. Grant Holloway took that, ran with it, now applied pressure to Rye Benjamin here. He said that Rye Benjamin runs 19.85 to win the 200 Prefontaine, respectfully. To which Michael Norman, his training partner, didn't let the opportunity go by and reply to that tweet, 19.65. respectfully. And then you had Noah Lyles chiming in because, hey, this is his event here. He said, I thought we were friends. So this should be a, this is a fun race because we have three people here, and it's the race is more than three people, but the three people that we're fixated on, you have one Lyles who wants to get back on top of the U.S. pecking order in the 200. You got another guy in Kenny Bednarik who was silver in Tokyo and pretty dang close to getting the gold. Can he establish himself now with another good run? He's been so consistent throughout the years. And then we have someone like Rye Benjamin, who is running one of these hypothetical races that we love to discuss and debate when we go off event. But in Benjamin's case, he's run this before, so we know he's going to be really solid in this 200. Just how fast, we shall see.
I'm always trying to find new betting odds for everything, right? Because I've become an addict. What do you think the odds are that someone without a last name that starts with a B or an L finishes in the top three?
Someone without the last name with a B or an L finishes in the top three. So that would be Kyrie King or Vernon Norwood, because Everybody else, Bednarik, Benjamin, Blake, Brown, and then Lyles and Lyles. Yeah, well, starting out, you only have a best case scenario. You only have two people in there, two shots to win. Long odds there. I don't think they're going to give that to long you with the Oregon, in the Oregon lottery. Probably. There. I don't think you're going to get that one. Also, Pierce missed his flight too. Yeah, that's a bummer. He got there though, I think. Yeah. That was 14 hours ago.
There's been other, like, you have Rye Benjamin talking about his journey, Eugene. I believe Paul Chelimo had like a major delay from Denver to Oregon. All these athletes trying to find ways to get to this meet. They're struggling. Maybe they're no longer just in the, you know, the USOC chartered flight. They're now having to deal with, you know, regular airfare. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do Olympians get like a chartered flight to Tokyo or no?
No, they probably sure don't. He's riding in a normal plane. Come on, Gordon.
Just coach. Yeah. Well, I don't know about coach.
They probably have some upgrades, but it's not like they're getting on a private plane and flying out to Eugene. But when you get to the Olympics, you're there so early, right? Like because you have to be, and you're because it's international flight. You're super paranoid about making sure you get to everywhere on time, and even if you are thinking about cutting it close, you're just like, wait a minute, I'm never going to do that. But you're right. I think people are struggling in general with getting flights. Also, it's just tough to get to Eugene. It's a tough place to fly to as someone who's flown there a bunch. Yeah, Gabby Thomas apparently took her 13 plus hours. Might as well have flown back to Tokyo, she says. So hopefully everybody gets there with enough time to get their legs ready, get their minds prepared for a good meet tomorrow at the pre-classic or tonight. Other event that I wanted to talk about here, men's 2 mile, women's 4 minute hurdles and women's 5k. But let's start here with the women's 5k. Cause that race is tonight. So that one is, that one has an expiration date on it. It's all about Safwan Hassan. The other top women, distance runners in this meet are in the women's 2 mile. So they are not in this race. So Helen O'Berry, Latensa Petkadeh are not there because Hassan has one opponent in this race, and that opponent is the 5,000 meter world record. I'm excited she's going after it. It's her one PB that doesn't truly indicate her ability. 14:22. She's faster than that. The mark to beat is 14:06. I'm assuming she's going to have some good pacing. She's not going to really have anybody who can push her in the latter stages because nobody's PB is really that close to her, let alone that close to running 14:06. Gordon, do you think she can do it?
100%. I think she can do it. And I also 100% think she will do it. I think clearly she's fit. Clearly she's able to still being able to handle that load work from Tokyo. I think she can handle 12 and a half laps in Eugene. I think it's going to be paced well for her. The whole race is going to be about her. And she's going to be able to cruise. I think she, her PB is not indicative of her ability, 14:22. She probably could run 14:22 on the back half of a 10K, if I had to guess, the way she can run. So
yeah.
I don't see any world where she – well, she's definitely going to break 14:10. I'll give her that. World records are still world records, and you have to just not guarantee world records because they don't happen often, right? We can't just say, oh, yeah, guaranteed. But I think guaranteed sub 14:10, and then whether or not she's in the range to kind of dip under that 14:06.62 by Gade, that will be the question mark. But she's going to be near it 100%. She's not – this isn't going to be like a massive fail where she falls off pace and just kind of – jogs in with a 14:18. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be in it. And the question will be, will she be within range with the final 200 meters to go?
I think she's going to do it. I think she's been capable of doing this for a while. I think the 5,000 is her best event of the championship events that are available, which you can make an argument for a lot of them, but I think it's the 5,000. We saw how good she is in a time trial 10K, even though, she had the record and then she lost the record. She should be just as good in a time trial 5,000. The struggle is coming back after all that work from Tokyo and being able to have fresh legs. So that is going to be the challenge, but I think she's going to be able to pull it off. I don't, are there going to be lights? Do we know if there are going to be lights on the track?
Well, there'll be lights to light up the track because it'll be nighttime. As for whether what they call it, ultralight technology or something?
Wave light.
Tracking light wave light technology. I don't know. It's a new stadium, so maybe they weren't prepared yet to build it. I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. What I do know is, what do you think the odds are that Safwan Hassan will have at least one world record when she retires? One active world record when she retires.
I'd say there's a 67% chance.
67?
Yeah.
Not counting the 1 hour one. Not counting the 1 hour or like a
dang road. It.
I'm talking about
dang
track.
It.
No, I'm talking track. I'm talking track.
So what a half marathon.
It's mile, 1500, 3K, 5K, 10K. Indoor
she's
or
got,
outdoor.
She's got the mile record. She already has that. You're
like
saying,
that's
well,
going. That's going to disappear. You know that. Come on. Kipyegon's going to get that.
Well, it's just about opportunities, though. I no doubt that she can do it. I mean, Safwan Hassan can run faster than 4:12, but I think she's going to get between all those distances. So you're not counting half marathon. You're just saying on the track. I think she
you
could
can count a half marathon road. I'm just talking about legitimate events.
Okay. Well,
so marathon, half marathon, 10K, 5K, 3K on track or mile.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying she's got a lot of opportunities because she can run. 64:28 is the half marathon world record. So she's in range of that. She's obviously a few seconds off the 10,000 and just had it. She's going for the 5,000. 3K is a little tough. We got an email about the 3K because when you put in her 10K PB, the IAAF point tables, World Athletics point tables, indicate that she could actually run the 3K world record. Mile she already has, so she just have to defend that. 1500. I think Kipyegon is the favorite to have that, but she's at least in the mix. So I think there's a good chance she's going to leave with one. I guess the question is a matter of timing because we saw with the 10K, she gets it and then she gets and it gets taken away. She's got to put some of these out of reach to where it's not even possible for someone of this current era to get them. And my guess is. She will with at least one of them. Maybe not all of them. Maybe some of them she'll leave some low-hanging fruit like she did with the mile, but I think one of them she'll put pretty far out there. If she goes and runs 14:01 tonight, it's going to take a really special effort for somebody to try to match that. That's not just the record gets broken all the time, just the era we live in. No, 14:01 is putting it way out there.
So Sarah Likes Penguins said there are going to be lights. Thanks for that update. Here's the thing though. I don't think she's going to have a world record because I think whatever she runs, someone is going to try to run faster and will run faster. I think
that only works to a limit though. That only works to a limit. Cause you could say this, it's like Carson Warholm, whatever he's going to run, someone's just going to run faster. And he ran 45 seconds in a 400 hurdles. Like if she puts the 5K at 13:59, you think someone in this era is going to be able to run 13:59?
Well, what I'm getting to is maybe that's what she's going to try to do tonight, because maybe she's learned, hey, trying to run 14:06.1 is going to be a waste of a world record attempt because it's going to be gone. And, you know, yeah. Someone could else, yeah. Maybe someone runs that at another Diamond League down the road, literally this year.
Yeah.
So I think her 10K experience of having a world record for like 48 hours, maybe she's like, oh, what was the point of running just a few seconds faster than the world record if G'day is going to take it from me? So I think she's going to try to run 13:59 pace. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I think as is, she wasn't going to try to just break it by a millisecond. I think she was going to try to do it with take a big chunk off if she could. I don't think she was going to be. You're talking about high jump, pole vault, where you just break it by a little bit so that way you can keep breaking it. I don't think that was ever in. I don't think that was ever in her plans. I think she's gonna take a big swing at it, and her closing speed is so good that you figure if she's anywhere close to being on pace, that she's just going to be able to summon a nice kick here and get this. So that's something to watch for. That's the highlight of the Friday night action.
Imagine being a little girl in Netherlands. You're like 8 years old, 10 years old. And you're like, ooh, athletics, track and field. That seems fun. And you're like, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to be the record holder in the Netherlands, the whole country of Netherlands. I'm going to hold a record. And then you're like, okay, cool. And then you finally get access to the internet because you're 12 or whatever. You look up who owns the Netherlands records. Oh, let's see if I could beat that one day. And then you look and be like,
oh my
God, who the hell is Safana San? And why does she have every freaking national record from 1K all the way up to half marathon? She is basically, I don't know if there's ever going to be another person from the country of Netherlands that breaks any of her marks. It just seems like she's put them so far out of reach. Like, imagine if an American had the 1K American record, 1500 mile, 3K, 5K, 10K, half marathon. Like, we almost had a little bit of that with Legat at one moment when Rupp had a few at a moment, but like, no one has ever dominated a country's record the way Safan Hassan has. I mean, we're already talking about world for her, but like, her national record run is pretty impressive, right?
Imagine being a pole vaulter growing up in Louisiana, and you go to Lafayette High School, and you walk into the gym and look at the record board, and you see, hey, Mondo Duplantis, this is pretty good. And then you Google it, and you're like, oh my God. Or you go to Union Catholic High School.
Yeah,
Sydney McLaughlin. Oh no, I'll never get any school record ever. Yeah, it's not fair.
State records in New Jersey. Oh, okay, 400. I'll move up to the 800. And you're like, oh, dang it, a thing Mo. What the hell? What's going on?
I'm boxed in no matter where I go. Let's talk about this men's 2 mile. We'll stay with that. Joshua Cheptegei, gold medalist in the 5,000. Salomon Barega, gold medalist in the 10,000. You have Kiplimo, Chilimo, also medalists there as well. You actually have the whole podium here, Gordon, in the 10K, and you have 2/3 of the podium from the 5K. On the American side of things, you have Grant Fisher and Woody Kincaid as well in there. Another good battle here, I think, brewing between Chilimo, Cheptegei, and you throw in Barega there as well, the 10K guy, who, listen, probably had a shot at winning the 5K based on how well he closed in the 10, but they decided not to run him in the 5K. So this will be a fun one to watch, just to see how good Barega is over this shorter distance.
So we have the whole podium in the 10K, you said?
Yeah, because that was Barega, Cheptegei, Kiplimo. And then in the 5,000, we have Cheptegei. We don't have Mohamed because he's entered the mile, but then we have Chilimo. So we have 2/3 of the 5K and all of the 10K.
So we got to make sure when they line up on the start line that they line up Barega, Cheptegei, and Kiplimo in there as if they were on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, Barega in the middle and Cheptegei and Kiplimo. Kiplimo on the other side, and then you can do a little screenshot. That's what I want. Anyway, Enough podium talk. 2 mile. So you have to think your 10K dominance isn't really going to be as important here, right? It's only 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Cheptegei and Chelimo had a great 2 mile battle back in 2019. It was when Pri was in Stanford. I remember watching that race. Cheptegei got the best of Chelimo. Chelimo. I'm combining people now. Of Chelimo. Cheptegei, I keep on wanting to just like handicap him as a time trialer or handicap him as, oh, he can run fast, but only if it's like super even pace. And like, it's, you know, I never want to call him a kicker because I'm just visually looking at the way he ran his world records. And it was like, didn't look like a kick. But then you watch the Olympic Games and you go back all the way to Pri when Chelimo and Cheptegei were kicking in the final 100 meters of a 2 mile. I need to start recognizing that Cheptegei can kick. You know, normally when you're the fastest PB, sometimes that doesn't mean you can great kick, but Cheptegei actually can kick. He showed it in the 10K and the 5K at the Olympic Games. So I think Cheptegei is the favorite here. I think Barrega probably and Chelimo I would put together for challengers to Cheptegei. But we talked about this off podcast. I think the real question is, what lane will Paul Chelimo finish in? Because we know it's not going to be lane one. I mean, the odds in lane one are going to be plus 1,000. Lane two, three, under. Four, five, that's going to be like minus money. Yeah.
Even two, I'd say over under would be 2.5, the lane that Chelimo finishes in. Here he is the last time at Hayward Field. He's finishing in four. I think Woody Kincaid could be interesting in this race, too. We know he's a really good kicker, and if he can just hang around for 2 miles. Because we've seen, was it the 18 Pri, where there was a two-mile setup, and it, for some reason, got tactical. I know it was a bit windy, different stadium, different circumstances. But if it slows a little bit here, and Kincaid's able to use his kick. He never got to use it in Tokyo because he was just out because the pace put him out the back. But I think he could be an interesting wild card to watch here too. Obviously, Fisher coming off of the fifth place finish in the 10,000 in Tokyo. But I'm with you. I would lean Cheptegei here.
Yeah, I like your Kincaid idea. He kind of is going to be under the radar because of his Olympic Games performance, but. If this Prefontaine Classic was a month after the trials, everyone would be like, Kincaid, man, watch out for him in the 2 mile. But because of what we saw at the Olympic Games, you kind of have a different view of him. But we got to recognize the Olympic Games races are going to be run completely different from this 2 mile. And I think Kincaid will be in it. And if he's in it with 200 meters to go, he's definitely going to be one of the kickers to watch. So,
yeah. It seems silly to say don't overreact to Olympic results because it's the Olympics and that's the pinnacle, but it's also one meet. And if someone ran well before that, there's reason to believe that they could run well after that, even if they didn't have a good couple days in Tokyo. Could have just been it's a tough time. It's a bad time to have a tough race, but it's possible. It's possible. And then you revert back to your normal self post Olympics, especially if you're racing in your home country. Women's four hurdles was the other one I wanted to talk to at length, and then I want to touch on some other events briefly. But McLaughlin is not here. World record holder, but
where is she?
Dalil Muhammad.
Where do you think she is? Where's McLaughlin?
I don't know. At home?
Do you think she'll be watching this live? Think she'll be watching her competition?
She's a track fan.
On TV.
She's a track fan. I think she'll be watching. But we're still getting Muhammad and Shamir Little. So we have two of the four fastest times of the year. So we don't have Sadie McLaughlin. We don't have Femke Bol. But this is still a pretty good race when it all comes down to it. Now, on the standard of Pri, where they've basically recreated every single podium in most of these races, this is not that. But it's still pretty dang good. Muhammad coming off the PB. 51.58, second fastest time in history. And Shamir Little, after trials, ran several really fast times. Her PB, 52.39. What do you expect from from those two in this race?
Well, I think Shamir Little is going to be out for blood. I think she's going to take it out very hard. She's going to look at it as an opportunity to show that, like, hey, I really wanted to be in that record-breaking Olympic final, because I know I would have been pulled along to an incredible PB, potentially a medal, maybe, you know, become the third fastest American all time, because that's the new goal now in America, is just be number three, right behind Dalila and Sydney. I am excited to see the way Shamir attacks Dalila. Dalila is going to be an interesting one to watch. Is what do you do after running an incredible time but coming up second? And it kind of reminds me of, like, she's in the same boat to me as, like, Rai Benjamin, right? Rai Benjamin's going to be at this meet as well. But obviously those two races, the two 400-meter hurdle races with Karsten and Sydney, they were the two best races of the whole Olympic Games. And it's kind of like, how does someone handle having the run of their life, the best run they could ever have dreamed of, that they would take 100 times out of 100?
Yeah.
And like, where do you go from there? Like, where do you go from getting second in the greatest race of all time? Like, how do you, yeah, what motivates you? Like, what do you try to, like, what's she going to try? What's she trying to do? Is she trying to run faster than that time? Like, you know, you're probably not going to be in that range again for maybe another year. If you're Dalila or Rai Benjamin's coach, what do you tell them? What do you tell them that, like, hey, this is what you should be focusing on now in these final few races before you shut it down for the season?
Well, with Rai, he's running a different event, so it's easy to get excited and motivated about that, and the pressure's off.
Yeah.
Muhammad, she's running her best event, so the focus is probably just win. Don't worry about times. But wouldn't it be the ultimate plot twist here if she ran 51:45? I'm not saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's probable. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying it's probable, but it is possible. Why would we discount that entirely out of hand? She's got somebody really fast to run with. The Hayward track is fast. Yeah. I know, because we think it was the race of the century, and it was amazing. But I'm saying, yeah, in any other circumstance, if you said, hey, this person is 0.12 off the world record, and they're running at the pre-classic against the number five woman in history, we would be talking a lot more about, whoa, the world record's under threat. Again, I'm not yeah, betting on it.
True.
I'm not saying it's probable, but it would be ultimate plot twist.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like those 400-meter hurdle times, they came not because of talent. They came because of circumstance of two all times at their peak with the most biggest reason to win, right? The disappointment of getting second at Puri is not the same as the disappointment of getting second at an Olympics. So, I mean, it shouldn't really be a disappointment because you're silver medalist at the Olympics. It's amazing. But, you know, they wanted gold. But, like, I just feel like we're not going to see sub-52s until the World Championship final in 2022. Like, I think they're just always going to be running 52 mid or 52 low until championship final.
And that's a totally reasonable and probably accurate assessment. And I agree with that. I think the part of the reason it ran so fast is because it's the Olympic final, and it's the Olympic final for a reason. All I'm saying is her PB isn't that far off. So I think you always need to hold it as a at least slim possibility of it happening. And she's someone who, through the rounds, obviously, gets better and better too. So, but that, you could say the same thing about McLaughlin. So the one-off race, oh yeah, you know, you're not going to be as tired, but I think she almost uses that to her advantage, as we've seen. I just think it's interesting that it's even a possibility. Anthony says, cut the crap out. There will be no 51:45. Have some fun. Dream a little bit here. Think about what's possible.
Cut the crap out, Kevin.
Cut that crap out. Just think about what's possible, though. I mean, yes, we know Tokyo's fast.
You make a good point.
The Olympic stage is the Olympic stage, and having Sydney there obviously makes a huge difference. But these But these circumstances are pretty good too. It's not an A plus circumstance, but it's still a pretty good circumstance to run fast.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, I think she's there to just get a win, collect an appearance fee, you know.
Which is fine. Which is totally fine.
Keep the legs loose, you know, yeah. Basically have a few more races and then shut it down and build up for a new 51 second attempt in 2022.
Again, I will be shocked if she does it. But then if you said, hey, Dalil Muhammad ran a 0.12 PR at pre-classic, if you just said that in a vacuum, you'd be like, okay, well, that's possible. That's not the craziest thing. We will all be shocked. But listen, I'm going to cut the crap and I'm going to move on to the next topic. We have a couple other events. I'll just throw a bunch of them at you. Tell me which ones you want to talk about. Or how it's women's 2 mile, men's 8, women's high jump, pole vault, men's triple, and then the women's steeple.
And men's shot put, right? Shot put's and, there.
Yeah, I thought we talked about men's shot put last time, but I guess not.
Oh, we did?
Ryan Krause is going to throw it far. Ryan Krause is
going to throw it far. For those who don't know, this is part two of a two-part podcast. So if you want part one, where we talk about the other events, mainly the women's 100, women's 800. Yeah, that's part one. You. I was waiting for you to say it in the beginning of the pod, like, hey, guys, go pause the video, go listen to the first podcast, then come back and listen to part two.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, those events. Start with men's 800. We said going into the Olympics that the men's 800 was like a crapshoot, right? Anyone could win, right? Mm-hmm. And I think after the Olympic final, it stayed a crapshoot because the way it was won in a slow time. You feel like it was all about positioning. And then you look at this field of, you know, good athletes, right? Harris, Hopple, Jewett, Murphy, the two Kenyans in Corrier and Rotich, and the two British athletes, Oliver Dustin and Elliot Giles and Marco Ayrop. This is another one of those shuffle up and deal, see what happens. You know, Isaiah Jewett, who apparently has no PB or season's best, he's never run an 800 in his life, is in the Prefontaine 800. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that because according to the heat sheets, he's never run an 800 before. That's hilarious. but yeah, I think in this situation, I think I would go with an AROP, a Corrier, or a Rotich. We've seen the way the Americans kind of struggle in these one-off 800s. Like they're not, you know, Murphy was like getting seventh and eighth in like every race post the trials. And then finally looked good through the first two rounds of Olympics. Ultimately, couldn't have it in the final, but he looked like the regular Clayton Murphy in the Olympics compared to his European stint. And I think we might see the same thing here. I think it's going to be between Corrier and Rotich. Question is, will it be fast? I don't know. I mean, there's no Igel Amos to kind of keep it fast. Mm-hmm. I think this might be kind of like a disappointing 143.8 win for Rotich. That's what I think is going to happen.
Person I'm most interested in seeing, I mean, this American contingent is interesting. You don't have Brazier, obviously, because he's still banged up, but you have Bryce Hopple, Clayton Murphy, Isaiah Harris. But the person I'm most interested in seeing is the person who got tripped up and fell in that semi, but did not get elevated to the final, even though the person who got tangled up with him, Nigel Amos, did, and that's Isaiah Jewett, because we just don't really know how that race would have ended, and we don't really know what would have happened in the final. We do know that the final was incredibly tactical, and he would have changed that, probably, because the trials and most of his other races, he really pushed it from the front. So I'm just interested to see what he has in store. He'd be the one that I'm most interested in seeing of this group. I also think it's funny, I can't let this go, because you were so on the Emmanuel Corrier train for so many years. You were talking about he's going to beat Rudish's record. He's going to win the 400 and the 800 meter double. He's the second coming of Alberto Wantarena. You were saying all this stuff. And then the moment you hop off, the guy goes and he wins a gold medal. And you want to really be, you want to be pumped up about it, but you can't, because you realize that you just made a horrible mistake and all of his successes remind you of the fact that you could have had that. You were right there. You were on the cusp of having a good, solid investment at an early point, and you threw it all away for some reason.
See, I felt like I was in a sunk cost fallacy. Like, where I was just like, I got to get out, right? It's too much. Going all in on the career train. And then I abandoned it. I abandoned it basically when the pandemic hit. And I regret it every day. And now I got to continue to abandon it. That's why I like casually was like, Rotich is going to win. You notice that? I was like, oh, yeah, Rotich will probably win. Because
it hurts you.
I feel it hurts to go back to realize all that buildup of the excitement. It's like, you know, it's kind of very similar to, it would be like, I haven't given up yet, but it would be like me giving up on the Sixers and be like, all right, I'm done. And then the next year they win. And I'll just be like, what the hell? Why have I given up on the Sixers? I do want to say,
No, I was just saying, you turn on the Olivia Rodrigo album and just cry in your apartment and rewatch the Men's 800.
I should get credit. I said he would be the next David Rudisha, and he won the next Olympics. So.
No, you don't get any credit for this. No, sorry.
You know. I have articles written that he would be an Olympic champion, and he became an Olympic champion, for the record. If Isaiah Jewett were to win this race, is he then the de facto Olympic champion?
Yeah, because they go back to Tokyo and they rerun it.
Well, because you could argue, like, he should have been in the final, maybe, and then it would be a statement. I want that to happen. That'll be fun. That'll be a fun, like, what if, you know, simulation. So,
women's 2 miles is going to be good too. As I mentioned, they cleared the 5K for Hassan, so you have Gede Obiri in there along with Nian Saba, who we talked about last pod. Just an amazing performance to where she finished in the 10K in Tokyo. You also have Elise Cranny in there, along with Constance Klosterhoffen. So that's a fun one. Women's steeple, you got the podium there with Chemitai Frerichs and Kiang, but no Emma Coburn for the U.S.
Yeah, the day will be interesting. She's going to have to watch Hassan's 5K. Is this race before or after? It's after the 5K, right? Because the 5K is...
5K is last. Women's... So this is before. Yeah.
Okay. So...
Last on Friday night, I should say.
Yeah. Okay. That kind of takes away my take, but whatever. Obiri's going to run well. I think Katie Rainsberger announced that she's with Team Boss. I think I saw that on Instagram.
Yep.
New signing.
I did see that on
Instagram. Is that
Instagram
true?
As well.
Let's see if we can get the Instagram. There she is. Team Boss, Katie Rainsberger. It's looking at like a college. I'm not to like change the subject to like NCAA cross country, but like there are so many like legit like graduating seniors who are for some reason coming back for year five or year six. It's like wild. We'll get into it more when we get into the fall, but cross country this year is going to be really old. There's going to be a lot of old athletes in cross country because I think a lot of it's like, hey, just do one last semester and then you don't need to go in the spring. But anyway, at least Katie Rainsberger didn't get tempted to do one last cross country season at Washington. She decided to take her talents to Boulder, Colorado. Anyway, I don't really have anything else about Puri. I do think we should talk a little bit more, though, about Sha'Carri. She was on the freaking Today Show today. How many people in the history of non-Olympic game or even non-world championship or even have been like on the Today Show before a track meet? Like, this never happens. We are witnessing, like, the transformation of, like, not transformation, but the cultural, I'm really bad at coming up with big names. I really want to have a really good descriptive with big verbs and adverbs and adjectives. And I can't come up with it because I was not good in the English language class. I was a math guy. But basically, I'm saying she's like transcended the popularity of the sport because of her personality, the way she acts on and off the track, the controversy, right, with the marijuana ban and all that stuff. This is awesome, is what I'm trying to say. Like, no, the Prefontaine Classic is going to be watched five times more people because of Sha'Carri running the 100 meters. Just her presence there. It's just like she has that power. We talked about like that this whole situation that she's in is actually grown her brand more than if she would have went on and won Olympic gold. That's what's wild about it. We keep on thinking, a lot of us track nerds and like track junkies always want to say results matter most, performances matter. Like the people who should be paid are the people who are ranked one and then two and then three and all that. And it's like, well, that's not how it works. Like people are going to pay for youth. People are going to pay for people who are more popular than others. It's not just because you're faster than Sha'Carri doesn't mean you are going to be promoted equally. There's just outside factors. The same reason why ESPN talks about LeBron James instead of talking about Devontae Graham, right? This is how it works. That's my NBA analysis. Anyway, Sha'Carri was trending on Twitter like 2 days ago. And I was like, what did she do? But apparently she put out a TikTok or a reel or Instagram. Do we have that video?
I took a couple, you know, I took some time off to rest, and now it's game time, bitches. You have no idea.
She is not holding back. She is not afraid of what the Jamaicans did in Tokyo. You would think there might be a little bit of like, oh man, 1061. I know I'm good, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to be running 1061 right now. But she's like, no, I'm ready to challenge a 1060, someone coming off a 1061. And I'm not only ready to challenge it, I'm ready to like predict it and set myself up for if I don't do it, I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback and backlash. But that's show that she has uber confidence. I mean, she tweeted, I wish the people that talk mess about me was cute at least. Like, she is not holding back. She is laying in it. And I just, this is the one moment where I wish we had time travel. Because I wish I could see
only one?
how the world would react with her winning. And I also want to see how the world would react with her losing. And I just want to like enjoy both of those scenarios. Because the scenario for winning would be wild, right? Because then she's going to go off and like people are never going to, it's going to be great. It's just going to be Conor McGregor-esque, like boom, boom, pumping my chest. And then if she loses, it's also going to be great because the amount of like dunking on and like the Jamaicans going wild would be also fun to watch. So I wish I could see her lose and win to see everyone just flip out on both sides of the aisle. That's what I want. I just want chaos.
So we've talked about how this race is going to be special. And I think you touched on a lot of the reasons why. Part because we get to see the full field of the fastest women in the world. We didn't get that in Tokyo. Nobody can argue that. You can say Elaine Thompson, hurrah, would have won anyway. And I would agree with you because you're in 1061. But you can't say that all the fastest women in the world were there because Sha'Carri Richardson wasn't there. But the other reason this race is special is because Richardson has this ability to raise the stakes whenever she runs. Track is so good. Track is exemplary at having all the meets blend together except for Olympics and World Championships. That's what track does. Everything is just basically a tune-up type meet or a one-off meet except for the Olympics. But Richardson, in the couple years she's been competing, she brings this level of intensity that makes it feel like there's something on the line, even when they're not racing for spots on a team or for medals, like what we're going to see tomorrow at the pre-classic. And that's why we're so interested in this race. I mean, she's fast, obviously, and that's a prerequisite. You have to be fast to get discussed on this show or on the Today Show or be trending on Twitter. But it's also because of her personality and her approach to the competition. And it's super hard to get the sports world in the United States talking about track and field after the Olympics have ended. The Olympics are over. We're supposed to be on a break now of mainstream track attention. And yet Sha'Carri Richardson has succeeded in doing that. They are still talking about track and field in the United States post-Olympics.
Yeah, and I honestly think more people are going to watch the – this would be actually a really good analytical test. When they post this 100-meter dash on the NBC account, you get to wait a few weeks, right? More people will watch this 100-meter dash than will watch the Olympic final. Regardless, if Sha'Carri wins, people are going to watch it. If Sha'Carri loses, people are going to watch Sha'Carri lose. Like, people want to see her win and people want to see her lose, which is what you want. People want to see LeBron win. People want to see LeBron lose. That's why the NBA is popular, because LeBron has been able to make everything matter. Like, every loss matters, every win matters. And we don't have that in track, like you said. Nobody cares if you're the Prefontaine champion.
Yeah.
No one
but
cares
she puts herself
the
on the line.
Stanford Invite champion. But
She puts the video out. Or she goes, she puts the video out or she goes on the Today Show and immediately creates stakes. And the stakes aren't medals, right? The stakes are, it's almost just like pride. Like, I'm putting myself out there. I'm laying myself bare to be either praised or critiqued based on my performance. And that is so rare in track and field, save for one time a year. Shout out to Serenity in the chat. She says this race feels too good to be true. But then she also says, like, something has to happen, a false start, someone pulls something. No, Serenity, do not jinx it. Do not jinx this race. Although I do kind of have that sneaking track fan suspicion that it is too good to be true.
I am hoping, though, in the simulation where she loses, I hope she doesn't all of a sudden turn that loss into, like, a need to be, like, more humble about the next race. Like, she needs to be like, I was rusty. I'm gonna beat you in Lausanne. Like, I want her to keep that fire, whether or not you want to lose, because you're not gonna win every race. Like, no one goes under. Yeah, no, but, like, you know, she might be tempted if she lost and gets a lot of, you know, backlash. She might be a little tempted to kind of lay low going into the next race, and I'm here to tell her, don't give into that temptation. Don't lay low. Lay high.
Yeah.
Sorry, the pun on words. Don't stay high. Just lay high. And go into the next few races with that same energy, because it makes people want to watch. It makes me want to watch. You know, I'm excited. And I know secretly Elaine, Shellyanne, and Sharika, they like it. I think they're like, this is awesome. I think they're in the back of their minds like, this is cool. Like, people care about what we're doing. Like, we're like, this makes everyone it's just better for everyone. That's all I'm trying to say. Better for everyone.
Well, this is my last point, and then we can move on and talk about marathons. People are always trying to come up with ways to make track more popular, right? You've come up with all these systems, and you've probably spent hours of your life, days of your life, probably, if you add up all the hours, thinking about it. And there's this new proposal and that new proposal. And I think we underestimate how important it is just to have the fastest people being their true selves, competing against the other fastest people frequently. There was every reason for this race not to happen.
Yes.
You had people who have everything to lose and nothing to gain by running, and yet they're still running. And in Richardson's case, she's not giving an inch in any of this pre-race talk, right? And that, you can see, catches on with people. That gets you trending on Twitter. That gets you talking about to the Today Show the day before a Diamond League meet, not the Olympics. That sort of stuff, when you have the fastest people willing to put themselves out there more than one time a year, this is the result. Now, it takes a special person like Richardson, and it takes a special field like we have with Thompson, Huron, Fraser Price, to add that extra layer to it. But it's possible, and it doesn't take convoluted schedules and refiguring this out. This track's a simple sport. Fastest people, go out there, race each other, and be yourself. If you're confident in real life, be confident in front of the camera, in front of the microphone. right? Don't shy away from it. Embrace it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when people, track fans and meet directors, thought we were growing the sport because they started using athletes' Twitter handles in the press releases because it was helping with the athletes', you know, brand. Or they're like, ooh, but do you see the new walkout that they have now? They get to take a photo in front of that. Or that's, they have fireworks now when they have fireworks now when they cross the finish line. It's like, that's all just like, that's all, doesn't matter. People are like, whatever. What matters is stakes. And you can get stakes by putting a lot of money on the line. You can get stakes by it being a once every 4 year event or once every 1 year event by being a world championship. Or you can get stakes by the athletes telling you this matters. And Sha'Carri is telling the world that Prefontaine 100 meter dash matters.
Yeah.
There's nothing that anyone in the media could have done or in the meet direction of Prefontaine. And even putting them together, like even if we had this race and Sha'Carri didn't say anything and was kind of just being like meek and not really talking about it, and the Jamaicans were kind of just being quiet and all that stuff, it wouldn't be the same. But she puts out that, it's so simple, a 6 second TikTok gets us like, oh, all right, she means business. So it's wild. Look at him. She has more followers than Dak Prescott, DeAndre Hopkins, and Jalen Hurts. It's wild.
Those are football players, for those of you who do not follow the National Football League here.
Man, Dak Prescott. That's crazy. Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. The biggest, the biggest sports franchise in the world, right? Are they number one?
Yeah.
Or is there a soccer team that's bigger? I think they're number one. I think the most valuable sports franchise in the world. And he's the starting quarterback for the most valuable franchise in the world, Sha'Carri Richardson, who didn't even go to the Olympics. It's more followers. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It's awesome.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Embrace it. Hard pivot
prediction,
now.
Final prediction. What do you think is going to happen?
Okay. I think Shelly and Fraser-Pryce is going to win. After
Okay.
I think Fraser-Pryce is going to win.
Shelly and Fraser-Pryce wins?
I'm with the 13% here on our poll. I'm with you guys. Fraser-Pryce for the win.
I low-key like that pick. But I'm going to go with Sha'Carri. But I do, if Sha'Carri loses, I think Shelly Ann does win. I think if Sha'Carri loses, I think Sha'Carri gets third. I think Sha'Carri gets either third or first. But I'm going to go put my...
Listen.
My
we all win.
First. I think she wins.
We all win if the race happens, as Serenity was talking about. There could be so many things that still go wrong. If the race happens, it's awesome. You know, the people who have fallen track for a little while remember the Michael Johnson, Donovan Bailey match race, and it happened, but it didn't really happen because he pulled up. Or the Mo Green versus Michael Johnson meet in the middle of the 200, the Olympic trials. And then, like, whenever there's this stuff bubbling up, there always seems to be something, go back to Dan versus Dave, there always seems to be something that ruins it. Now, we've had a couple good years, some stretches here, right, in the 4 minute hurdles, we've seen it happen. But the things where there's just like a little bit of extra bite to them, sometimes they don't end up happening. So I'll be happy if the gun goes off and every lane is filled with the people that we think are going to be in the race. But I'll take Fraser-Pryce. I'll go with the 13% here. Go Fraser-Pryce.
I'm going Richardson, and she's going to run 10:78.
Right, because before you said because she slows the race down because there's too many fast people and they're looking at each other. That's right. It's great.
Yep.
Great sprint. Analysis there for Gordon Mack. All right, do we have time for the marathon?
Yeah, let's do it. Of course we have time.
Okay. All right. Miller on the chat says hello from Australia. Hello, Miller.
Hey.
Good to see you from Australia. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Okay, New York. We'll start with New York. We'll do a couple minutes on each one, and then I have some big questions about the fall marathon season in general, which is just the marathon season in 2021 because it's every fall marathon. Women's field for New York City, Perez Jepchirchir coming off the gold medal. You also have on the American side, Molly Seidel, bronze medalist, Des Linden, who will be running New York 27 days after Boston, Emily Sisson, Sally Kipyego, Alphine Tuliamuk, and then someone else to watch out for Abibel Yeshina, who's the half marathon world record holder in a mixed race. She ran 64:31 on the men's side. Bekele is the headliner, but Abdi Nagy, the silver medalist, is entered. On the American side, you have Jared Ward and Ben True, and Ben True will be making his debut. Keep an eye out for Kibiwot Candy, though. He's the world record holder in the half, 57:32. What are your thoughts on New York City?
That's a lot of name overload. You just said a lot of different words, a lot of names. I don't remember. I couldn't recite all the names you just said.
Well, they're on a list in front of you.
On a list in front of me. First of all, this list is super annoying on the New York Roadrunners website because it's in alphabetical order and not by personal best, which makes it harder to know who to. You know, you just want to. It's easy. Yeah, let's put up this list instead for me, Travis. He busts out Excel for us. Boom! Look at that. This is great. It's easier to follow, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Olympic champ. She's going to be the favorite going in. I am excited, though, for this American contingent on the women's side.
Yeah.
Sisson, especially like the people we haven't seen in a while, in Sisson and Taylor. I'm excited to see how they do. Linden is more, this is going to be an appearance because she's probably more focused on the Boston Marathon. And even if she does well or bad in Boston, I still feel like this isn't her race to win. This is more for Sisson to have a good marathon comeback. Taylor, we haven't seen in a while. And then see how the Olympians do. And Seidel, Kipyego, and Tulumok.
Yeah, this whole running two marathons back-to-back thing is catching on. And I'm excited about it. I think for Linden's perspective, she ran that 50K last year. It seems like she's figured out how to pile multiple efforts back to back. We've seen Sarah Hall do this now. The surprising thing here, the person you would not associate with doing back to back efforts is Kenenisa Bekele in the men's race, who's running Berlin in September. And then 42 days later, he's running this race. David Monty had a great stat. He basically has a 50% finish rate in his last 10 marathons that he's been signed up for. 50%. So maybe the calculus here is Bekele, hey, I'll just sign up for two. And if I finish one, that's a big win. But I am very, very curious to see how he fares in both of these. I think he would take one really, really good one. I don't think he needs to hit it out of the park in both, especially because New York is a different animal than all the races he's run before. 201:41, though, is his PB, a couple seconds off the world record. But that's the last one he finished. That was 2019. That was his last big race. Remember, scratched in London last year ahead of that big showdown. Speaking of matchups that we wanted to see that we didn't get to see, that fizzled out against Kipchoge. So I have no idea what to expect from Kenenisa Bekele. The hype is always going to be there, but lately he hasn't produced, and just getting to the start line healthy will be a big accomplishment for him.
And I'm really excited about Ben True.
You're a Ben True fan.
I'm a big Ben True fan. Big Ben True fan. He hates the 10K because he doesn't like running the 6 miles or the 5 miles. Oh, 6 miles? Six miles, excuse me. He's done a few half marathons, but now he's going all the way up to the marathon. What do you think he needs to run for him to be like, I want to keep doing this and I want to start becoming a marathoner for the next few years and try to make the 2024 Olympic marathon team?
What's the magic number for American men, Gordon? You know it.
I mean, it's sub 210. Yeah.
Right. And maybe add a minute because it's New York, or even 2 minutes and it's New York. I think if only Jared Ward beats him on the American side, I think that's a good sign. And if he runs, like I said, like a 2:10:30 or a 2:11 even, I think that'd be enough. The money is on the roads. That's what we've heard time and time again. It's hard to find a 10K. Is everything okay at Gordon's house? I don't know what that noise was.
Hard to find out later.
It's hard to find high-level 10Ks. You know, 5K, we don't know. You know, off the Diamond League and all that stuff. So this makes sense. This makes sense for Ben True. Everybody wanted to have him in this race like 5-6 years ago earlier, right? Because when other countries were going younger and younger, everyone's like, well, the U.S. is going to go younger and younger. Didn't work out that way. But he's still been running at a pretty high level. It's not like he's doing this because he's a complete non-factor in the 10K and the 5K in the U.S. anymore. No, he was in the mix for the Olympics this year. So I'm interested to see. I think he could be someone to watch out for because he already has that good speed, that 5K, 10K speed.
Yeah, I agree. Noah Drotty coming off of his good marathon. He says it's a 209 PB. He's the top American PB-wise. So he's run well a few times on the New York streets. Remember, he had that good New York half a few years ago. So he'll be interesting to see if he can kind of sneak into the top five. When you look at the PBs of the men's field, outside of Bekele, it's a big gap, right? And look at some of the other like elite fields, you see like a bunch of 203s and 204s and 205s. Here, everyone is closer and closer to the 210 range than to the 203 range. So I do think this might be an opportunity for one of the American men to kind of find a way and finish at least top five for sure.
Oh, definitely. But someone like Abdi Nagy, I give more credit than a 206 PB because he just got the silver medal at the Olympics. So I think he's legit. Germay Gebrselassie is pretty solid in championship type races as well too. So you're right though. That is pretty stark when you look at it, when you go from 201 to 206. Maybe that's why they didn't do the PR order. They did alphabetical instead because it would make everybody feel bad between 201 and 206. Yeah. There was such a big gap. That's why I did it. Let's talk Chicago now, shall we? Chicago fields. Yeah, so Chicago is October the 10th. So it's about a month before New York. On the women's side, Ruth Chepnegich, she's won the world title before. She's the top seed. She's run 207. Then it's basically all Americans on the women's side. Yeah, Sarah Hall, Keira D'Amato, and Emma Bates there. For the U.S., Chepnegich is really the only top-level Kenyan or Ethiopian in this race. On the women's side, on the men's side, more depth up front, a lot of fast times. No superstar real names, though. And you have Galen Rupp leading the way for the Americans. So kind of two different fields here. One is extremely American-heavy. The other one... it has Galen Rupp, but a lot of people who have run 203, 204, 205.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, the dynamic of how all these marathon fields look. They're not all marathons are equal, right? And especially in this weird time where we have all of them happening in the same like 3-month period. Even in the same marathon, the men's field looks like an actual marathon that's international, and the women's field just looks like the Arizona marathon that we had back in December, right? Keira D'Amato, yeah. Sarah Hall, like whatever, the marathon project. It just looks like a repeat of the marathon project. I'm excited for Sarah Hall. She mentioned that this was her attempt at trying to break the American record, right? Is that been said on paper?
While you report it? No, I think she's put that time out there before. Statement.
She put that
2:19:36. She's ran 2:20:32. So she's within a minute, and she ran that at the marathon project, the aforementioned marathon project.
I mean, I could see it happening. Could you?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. This is interesting, though, because when you have Chepnegich, who probably is going to want to run faster than 2:19, so is she gonna have her group of pacers, and then Sarah Hall's gonna have a separate group of pacers? I'm interested in this. It's just so stark looking at that start list, because usually there's a bunch of people in between, and there's plenty of people to pick off and run with. So I think absolutely she can do it. I'm just interested in the pacing side of things, because look at this. Put this field up again, if you could, please. Like, if everything goes to form, let's just say they run exactly at their PRs. I know it's not going to happen, but Hall is in the middle of nowhere then, because she's 3 minutes behind Chepnegich and 2 minutes ahead of Keira D'Amato. She'll have pacers hopefully. And again, it's not going to be, the race isn't going to work out entirely like this. And maybe they'll add in some people. Maybe there's some folks that they're waiting for. Maybe Bekele will jump in this race to Rabbit. He'll triple. Like, he'll need something to do in between September and November, and he'll run this. But this is not filled with people who can keep you company in the later miles.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that Chepnegic is going to want to run faster than 219. Are you just saying that? Like, or do you think she's going to be going out here to try to run a PB? Or do you think she's just going out here to win it?
She DNF'd in the Olympics, so she doesn't have as much in her legs. I mean, she can cruise a 219, couldn't she?
Yeah, I feel like she's going to look at this field and be like, hey, what? How much do I get for winning this race? I just had to beat all these Americans. I don't think she's going to be like, all right, let's go run 217. She's like, all right, I'll run a 220 pace and then win in the end. And if she has that confidence of like, this is a weaker field, I can then, sorry, I hear more screaming in the back.
More noises. I have no idea what's going on in Gordon's house. Is everything okay?
I texted her. We'll find out. Okay. But what was I trying to say? Is that if she like kind of thinks this is a second tier field and she runs a 220 pace, that basically gives Sarah Hall a de facto like
someone to
carrot to kind of to stay with, and that if Ruth basically makes it a 219 220 race, that helps Sarah Hall, who then can stay in that pace and then kind of close in on that American record.
Yeah.
So basically a long-winded way of saying this, maybe Ruth becomes Sarah Hall's pacer.
Yeah. Rupp has a challenge here. This is a deep field, but I also think this is basically as easy as it's going to get for Galen Rupp to win a major marathon over the next couple of years, because the field is split amongst all these majors. You don't have Kipchoge in this race. You don't have Kenenisa Bekele in this race. You don't have some of the folks who beat him in the Olympics in this race. And yet still, you just look at that and it's an uphill battle. I mean, you go back to three of these gentlemen set their PBs in 2021 with a 204.29, 204.19, and 205.47. These aren't guys who are just up there with resumes that are dated. These are relevant new names that are coming in, which is the challenge of the marathon, which is what makes Kipchoge's excellence so impressive. It's just nobody, as soon as somebody ages out, it feels like three people age right into running 204 or 203.
Yeah. So now that we have all these fields, which marathon is the, here we go. How many Americans, men and women, do you think are going to finish top three in the marathon? Going from between London, Berlin, Chicago, Boston, New York City.
How many can finish top three? Well, let's just start in Chicago. Two to three could finish top three in the women's race, because if Chepnegich doesn't finish or has a bad day, you could get, but at the minimum, I think it would be two. Obviously someone could be added to the race. Rupp on the men's side could, but that's three. A longer shot. When we go to New York, men's side, more of a long shot, but potentially one. Women's side, I think you could get one. Boston, maybe one in each if we're talking top three. So the only one that you feel really good about is Chicago women's field. That's one you feel really good about.
But you could see seven Americans being on the podiums at major marathons this fall.
That would be the very, 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 very high end. I mean, that's the max. Because I think it's not crazy for Emily Sisson to finish on the podium, or Jordan Hasse to finish on the podium. I get the Boston men's would probably be it is a longer shot, it's much harder basically for the men than the women in the Boston marathon. I mean, just looking at the fields and who's in there. So yeah, that would be the very high end, but I only feel really good about, we just did this thing where we did the Olympics and we totally overshot the American medal count. So I'm not going to be like, there's seven guys and seven women who are going to finish on the podium. The only The only race I feel really good about is Chicago, just because it's mostly Americans on the women's side.
Okay, I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5.
3.5? I'll go over. I think they'll get 4. Yeah. I think they'll get 4. Because I think they'll get 2 in, I think they'll get 2 in the Chicago women's field, and then between all the other races, I think they'll be able to cobble together 2 more.
2 more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll be able to get 2 more. Because, you know, you look at, as you mentioned, the New York City Marathon field. If Bekele's not there, then things open up. And Jared Ward has been knocking on the door for forever. It wouldn't surprise me if Jared Ward could snag a third place. That's not crazy. Let me ask you this question while we're doing questions. Which American is most likely to win one of these marathons?
Which American's likely to win?
Most likely to win.
I would say Sarah Hall. Most likely to win. I think she, I mean, her most recent marathon was running 220. So she's definitely fit. I mean, I don't know if she's definitely fit because that's been 8 months since then. But more of like, I think she's not coming off the Olympics. So she's not going to have like to come pull off a double from coming from the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I just think her in Chicago is the best chance that for a win.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, my reasoning is she doesn't have the Olympics in her legs. She clearly is fit to go up against East Africans. She's in a field that only has one. So put all that together, I think Chicago, Sarah Hall, champion, could happen.
Yeah, I agree. It's the most navigable field because basically if she just runs to her seed time, they're second. And then it's not as if we haven't seen Chepnegich fall short before. She just DNF'd in Tokyo, which will probably help her in Chicago because she won't have run all those miles. But It's not inconceivable. I think everybody else, much longer odds. You could see it, but they'd have to get past a lot of people. Sarah Hall starts with, okay, the absolute worst she'll probably do is third or fourth. And that's a really great place to start going into a marathon. Let me ask you another one, Jordan. You ready for this other question?
Yeah. Before we get to the other question.
Wait, you just...
I figured out what the scream was for those who want to know. I sent a video to Travis. If you want to show the video, this was what the scream was. Put up on this.
Two screams. Weren't there two?
My girlfriend was screaming, here it comes. And seeing the little crushed spider was the scream.
Wait, did she crush it with the foam roller?
I think she crushed it. I think she saw it and she killed it. And then she saw what she killed. And so she filmed it to show me what she killed. And was a
story. Gotcha.
There's a lot. Okay. We moved from an apartment. There's not critters in an apartment, but when you're in a house, there's bugs everywhere, right? Because they're
well, you live in the middle of the forest, too.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
I live this in is the animal kingdom.
I'm glad she's okay. Like that scream could have been worse. So I'm glad it's just. I'm glad
yeah, I know, right?
There. All right.
Yeah, just a bug.
I got 2 more questions for you before we go. Next one. Which fall marathon has the best American field? So put men and women together here. We wouldn't say Berlin. London doesn't really have that many Americans. So I think this would be between the 3 U.S. marathons, Chicago with Rupp, Hall, and that deep women's field. New York, we talked about the New York field with, you know, Jared Ward, Ben True on the men's side, and on the women's side, you have the Olympic team featuring Molly Seidel. You have Emily Sisson, you have Des Linden, and then Boston, where the strength is really the women's side, where you have Huddle, Linden, and Hesse.
So when you combine men and women, right, just the women are so much better. So all the women's field just look great, right? Chicago looks good with D'Amato and Hall. Boston looks good with Linden, Hesse, and Huddle. New York looks good because it has the Olympians. And then when you think about just like what looks good for men, it's really Rupp and then everyone else. Like Who is the second best marathoner on the men's side?
Well, was it Jake Riley?
But like, is it? Maybe that's just one race. But like, in whole, who would you say is the second best marathoner on the men's side?
Yeah, I guess you'd say consistency-wise, you'd say Jared Ward over the last couple of years. He's the one who's showing up to all these races and has the potential to get in the top five. But I think it's New York, because the women's field, you have the medalists, plus you throw in Linden, which you already have in Boston, plus you throw in Sisson, who's going to be running the third marathon of her career. She's an exciting prospect. We saw how well she did in the 10K. And then Kellen Taylor. Yeah, it's a deep field. And then the men are interesting too, because you have Ward, as I mentioned, but you have the debut factor with Ben True. And the debut factor always grabs our interest, because we're like, could they be? Could this be the one? Could this be the next American star? Even though he's been around for a while, maybe he's got a couple of years left at the marathon. So I think it's New York.
Yeah, I guess I would only say Chicago if the weight of Galen Rupp just like makes up for any other depth of men, right? Like, would you rather have a field with Galen Rupp on the men's side or a field without Rupp and a bunch of other guys? I don't know.
Here's the problem, though.
I think New York. The women is so much good too. I feel like the women are good in all three, Chicago, Boston, and New York. I feel like it's kind of equal. I'll probably rank it Boston, New York, Chicago, but it would be 1A, 1B, 2A in my mind. So yeah. I'll go with New York. Like, New York is the best American field. I'll say it. New York's best American field.
Yeah, I want to see Seidel again. I want to see Sisson in a marathon. You got Linden doubling back. Like, what if she runs great in Boston? And then we're like, wait, hold on. Can she podium in two marathons? I like the women's field in that one. The problem with Chicago on the men's side with Rupp, he's just a victim of his own success. If he could win that field, or he could win that race against that field, which would be tough, but we'd still be like, well, we've seen him win a major before. Like, we've seen that happen before. Doesn't make it any less impressive, but like the list of people that we want to see Rupp beat, none of those people are on this roster of people running. So it's going to be tough for him to win one. And even if he did, I know it's a little contradictory to say, but even if he did, we'd say, well, man, it'd be awesome to see him against, like, if we saw Rupp v. Bekele, or Rupp v. Well, we just saw Rupp v. Kipchoge, and we know how that went. But that would be one of those battles. Like, if we saw Rupp versus Bekele, that'd be one of those races where, just because of the names in it, everybody's going to be drawn to it. Everybody'd be drawn to it. And it would seem like this big clash of the Titans.
Last question. Maybe talk about more next week, because we're going a little long. If you're Eliud Kipchoge, you've seen all the fields now. Are you enticed to join any of these parties? Are you going to chill out in Kenya with your gold medals and just watch the fall marathon season go by and then come back for the spring season?
It depends how much you want to mess with Bekele. Because if you do, you got two opportunities to race. I don't know what motivates him still. I want to see him running in New York or Boston, right? So I'd want to see him run in New York or Boston. You go to New York, and there's Bekele there. But then the next best person is Abdi Nagy, who he just beat by 2 minutes in Tokyo. So he has to feel fine about that field. In Boston, I don't think there's anybody who's intimidating him. I just don't know, with the short turnaround, if he wants to do that. And I don't really blame him. I'd like to see Kipchoge twice. I mean, I'd love to see Kipchoge more a year, but I'm used to seeing him twice a year. And every time he shows up, he delivers pretty much. So I'm okay with that. I just want to see him in 2022 run. I would love to see him run a US marathon. That's not Chicago, because he's in Chicago.
He's mentioned to me that he wants to do every major. Right. So he wants to run New York and Boston before he retires.
He also told you he wants to run a marathon on a ship, too.
Yeah. Well, he's also.
And you didn't follow up. I know. No follow-up.
He also told me he wanted to win Olympic gold, and he did that. So now he's following up on his wants.
He's a truth teller.
He's a truth teller. I think he might. I have no. I'm not reporting this, and I have no intel. But I think he might show up at the New York City Marathon. I think he might be a late ad. I think it's the latest marathon, so you have the most rest. All the other Olympians are running, right? It's not like it's an impossible double. Everyone else, most of everyone else is running a second marathon. I could see him, and if you look at the New York field, everyone is slow except for Bekele, and it allows him to kind of have like another fun little match with Bekele, and people would watch it, right? He could easily win it. Bekele's also coming off of a double. So, like, it's not like Bekele's going to have a huge edge on him because you'll be coming off of Berlin.
Yeah.
I think I could see Kipchoge running New York City.
I think there's no guarantee. In fact, the odds are that just based on those numbers that we talked about earlier, that he doesn't get, you know, if he doesn't finish the race. And if that's the case, then the next best guy in there is someone that Kipchoge could definitely handle. I'm all for it. I just don't want to expect it and be disappointed. But I'm all for him running that race. The other part of it is, what about, and this I think is a long shot, but what if Bekele gets the world record in Berlin?
I don't know. I mean, he's not going to. So let's not worry about that timeline yet.
Okay, moving
first,
on.
We have to get through the Sha'Carri Richardson race first before we can start thinking about Bekele world records. So
okay,
we have to first get through.
I'm just throwing out every possibility. That's all I was doing. Okay, I think we've covered it all. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Yeah, thanks everybody tuned in live, and also everybody who downloaded the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to podcasts. Our YouTube page, Flow Track Podcast, subscribe to it. Thanks to Travis for producing. Thanks to Colt for producing. We'll be back on Monday to recap the Prefontaine Classic. Enjoy the meet, everyone.